So we're going to talk about kindness today. And here's a fun fact. Did you know that Mr. Rogers, that paragon of kindness, encouragement, and safe space for children and their feelings for decades on public television, did you know that he once sued the Ku Klux Klan? It's true. In 1990, the KKK was using his voice, likeness, and theme song, "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood," to propagate racist and anti-gay propaganda and recruitment messages, and Rogers sued to stop them. In a statement after winning their case, Rogers' lawyer said, "These messages are of racism, white supremacy, and bigotry, the antithesis of everything Rogers and Family Communications, Inc. stand for." Now, I'm no Mr. Rogers, but I'm proud to share that this is a touch point I share with him. I am currently a plaintiff in a case that is targeting several chapters of the Ku Klux Klan, as well as several white supremacists and their organizations. But I'm even prouder to share a touch point with him that affirms the thrust of the new Tom Hanks movie that's just been released, which is, he really was who he seemed to be on television, and he backed it up in the real world. I wrote two letters to Mr. Rogers when I was 4 or 5 years old, with my mother's help, and he wrote me back, personally. Himself, he responded specifically to the questions and contents of my letters with profound kindness, care, and attention. The connection I felt with him and the land of make-believe he created and curated on weekday afternoons was made alive and real in my own life. I treasure that correspondence to this day. And indeed, Mr. Rogers, though he's been dead for 16 years now, is a spirit, life, and example to be treasured by all of us, especially in times like these. And what is that spirit, life, and example? Well, if we had to boil it down in brief, I might say that Fred Rogers embodied empathy, patience, and kindness. Empathy, patience, and kindness. Empathy is the action of understanding, not just the awareness, but the sensitivity and experience of others' feelings, thoughts, and experiences, even when those feelings, thoughts, and experiences aren't being explicitly communicated. In other words, empathy is being tuned into the truth that the image of God resides in others and treating the needs and expressions of others as holy as we consider our own needs. Patience. Fred Rogers took his time with people, especially children. Prioritized children. Let them navigate the world with wonder and volatility and what we adults might call mistakes. He recognized that their inner worlds were precious and God-given too, and they needed encouragement to safely express themselves, knowing that this world is so often unsafe for our inner worlds and feelings, that nurturing that and taking time with it was a recipe for wholeness and balance later in life. And third, kindness. Empathy and patience do not necessarily lead to kindness, but I want to say that kindness needs the two of them to be authentic. Kindness is a choice. Kindness is the choice to not only listen to our hearts and to one another, but in love and understanding, nudge ourselves and each other towards integrated wholeness and self-acceptance. To want the beauty created in each of you and in others to be made known most fully alive and free to express itself. It follows then that kindness towards self and others nudges us towards right relationships with our histories and with the needs generated by those histories and the embodied solidarity with each other necessary to seek justice until those needs are met. As Elaine Scarry puts it, beauty prepares us for justice. So whether we are people who love, embody, and practice kindness is a justice issue, meaning we won't progress anywhere without it. Not as a church, not as a borderlands community, not as a country. There is no progressive community without kindness. The hard stuff. Mr. Rogers, an ordained Presbyterian minister, knew this, which is why he dedicated his entire life to making these seemingly simple truths known to generations of youth, and why, when his message was twisted in the most hateful way possible, he took strong, proactive steps to silence that hate. Litigation against anybody isn't something we probably associated with Mr. Rogers. But hopefully with the framing of kindness I've just unpacked, you can begin to see why he did what he did in bringing the Klan to court. Kindness is not meek, go along to get along passivity. Those who seek to destroy the God image in others, who seek to marginalize the lived experiences and possibilities for others, they are anti-kind and anti-Christ. So we're called to deplatform them. Mr. Rogers knew that passivity is a non-starter when it comes to true peacemaking. It might also help here in understanding this point to be clear about what kindness is not. Kindness is not niceness or the maintenance of civility. Niceness papers over to keep things superficially stable. We all do it, cis-hetero white people especially. Civility is what niceness looks like in public. It's the maintenance of the status quo in the interest of perceived order, and it prescribes a disingenuous patience. It says to the Klan, if we're not the ones targeted by them, hey, you're embarrassing us, tone it down, this is not who we are. And it says to those crying out for true justice and bodily safety, hey, tone it down a little, not so loud, we hear you, but just hold on a little bit longer. Or this is not who we are, whatever happened to civility? These phrases and postures are not rooted in kindness. No, kindness is not niceness or civility. Kindness can cope with our feelings and our world as they are, because kindness wants to build true and integrated community. Kindness helps us lay bare and repair that which needs to heal and builds trust in love and embodied solidarity with our neighbors in need. As my dear sister in Christ and co-conspirator in embodied solidarity, Reverend Brittany Cain Conley writes, let us remember that Jesus was not civil. Jesus was not the picture of passivity and niceness that we like to paint. Ditto Mr. Rogers. Jesus was a threat to the status quo and civility. That's why those in power lynched him on a cross. They don't crucify nice people. This is Brittany still. This is not a time for the marketplace of ideas. There are people who believe that immigrant children are criminals. We're locking up record numbers of them with our tax dollars. There are people who act as though queer folks are an abomination. There are people who consider every black and brown person to be a threat. These ideas are not worth debating. Logical conversations will not dissuade oppressors. Civility has never transformed the reality of the marginalized, and it never will. And I think we can safely say that civility and niceness are not kind. Maintaining a false peace at the Thanksgiving table with the stereotypical racist uncle spouting off as not kind to him or to those his views demonize and marginalize. We love the racist uncle by confronting that which attacks the beauty in others. And we know kindness when we are confronted with our own problematic views and listen with patience and respect to the perspective on the other side of the table so that we can recognize how they've been hurt or marginalized. And I want to say this, and I want you to hear it, your feelings. I'm going to channel Mr. Rogers here. Your feelings, all of them, are okay. They are okay. You are okay, and it's okay if you don't feel okay. Tell yourself this. Let it marinate. But our feelings don't necessarily get expressed in the healthiest ways when we don't believe that it's true, that they're okay. When we haven't been given the signals and assurance that they're safe to express. So we lash out, or we get extremely upset about what on paper are pretty small things, maybe. What's that about? What's the true feeling underneath? What are we actually deeply scared, angry, confused, or hurt about? Hear these words from Mr. Rogers as encouragement and challenge for growing in wholeness and self-acceptance. Confronting our feelings and giving them appropriate expression always takes strength, not weakness. It takes strength to acknowledge our anger and sometimes more strength yet to curb the aggressive urges anger may bring and to channel them into nonviolent outlets. It takes strength to face our sadness and to grieve and to let our grief and our anger flow in tears when they need to. It takes strength to talk about our feelings and to reach out for help and comfort when we need it. Now, I might add that it takes friends and community to help give us that strength. A church community can be that place. Does it feel to you like Rincon is or has been that safe place for you? Like it was for Karen when she first found this space? Does it feel that way for others? And why or why not? Do we trust each other enough to share our feelings with each other in healthy ways? We'll need that trust so that we can honestly hear from each other and share in the realities of who we are as a community or not, and to share our dreams of who we might want to be. And it's going to take kindness to get there towards ourselves and towards others. Kindness builds trust because it says, no matter who you are or what you're feeling, I'll be here. What does kindness look like in community? What does kindness look like in a community proclaiming that it is bound together by the living God of love and liberation? We say every week, no matter where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. But I intentionally clarify that we strive to make this safe space because I don't know that that's actually the case yet in terms of how we want to mean it. I often wonder if a culture of niceness and civility has resided and maybe even defined Rincon for a long time and can help explain why, when the going has gotten tough, rather than lean into one another and bind ourselves stronger, distrust prevails in many ways instead. I wonder if it's why, when changes occur to what we think defines us as a community, the expression of feeling is even more anger and distrust as opposed to faith seeking understanding, as opposed to empathy, patience, and kindness. How do we build trust and kindness? I think the week of Thanksgiving is a terrific place to nurture that, because gratitude, like trust and kindness, is a choice, and a choice that also engenders both of those things. So where do we find the strength to begin to make these choices? With the God who, as the psalmist today says, is beyond and covers all in the midst of our inner and outer lives. The God who is our refuge and strength, our safe space, who is very present and a help, especially in times of trouble, transition, and change. Knowing that God, the psalmist says, means no fear, though the earth should change. Do you, individually, know this God deep in your hearts? If you feel an iota of connection and safe space with Mr. Rogers, then you definitely can and do know this God. Now, do you, Rincon, as a people gathered together, know and claim this God amongst yourselves? Be still and know this God. Choose empathy, patience, and kindness when gossip and fear and distrust break free. Ask someone what those feelings are about and what their plan is to grow through them. And if your feelings don't feel safe, if you're having trouble knowing that God is with us and our refuge, my prayer is one for your trust in this space. Trust that I am holding you in light, and I know for a fact that so many others here are too. Trust that you believe God is holding you here. And the God who ends wars and breaks the cycles of violence in the world and in our lives will continue to be proclaimed here until this body of believers unites behind that truth. It's the only way we'll get where we're going. Kindness and solidarity with one another and our city come from security in the only thing that actually keeps us safe, the living God, our refuge, that great Mr. Mrs. Rogers in the sky. Amen.